Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us today on a very special episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. You're going to hear something today that you do not hear very often, if at all. Now, unless you live under a rock, you understand that we live in a world today where people have a tendency to believe that image is everything. You've probably even heard the adage that first impressions are lasting impressions. Well, my guest today is author Nelson Brown, author and minister Nelson Brown. He has written a book titled The Beauty in Us, Our Reality. Now, this book is about a young man of color who's using his age, his gender, his nationality to discuss his personal struggles with colorism, self-image, and self-acceptance. You know, as a society, as a whole, it seems like we are always discussing controversial topics regarding body image and acceptance, but almost always it is heard from a female's point of view. Have you ever heard many males speaking out about their struggles with their body image and their self-esteem? Well, Nelson E. Brown has been embarking on a journey to help boys, girls, men, women around the world to discover who they are and how beautiful they really are. Now, in this book, Nelson is able to give himself and us permission to be vulnerable, even to be emotionally honest about how he and we feel. He's speaking on behalf of all the men and all of the young boys and communities all over this world who are afraid to speak up for themselves. He is also willing to show women and young girls how males carry their insecurities with them each and every day and how they suppress them in the public eye. Help me welcome to the program, Nelson Brown. Nelson, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. I definitely appreciate this opportunity. I've had a lot of exposure, and I've been able to network with a lot of people who are willing to support me and my dreams, and it's just been amazing.
Amen. Glory. And Nelson is in the Baltimore, Maryland area. Glory to God. He's a next-door neighbor to me. Praise the Lord. And I'm just going to say this right off, that if you are in the Baltimore, D.C. area anywhere, and you'd like Nelson to come out and speak to your group or your church, I am almost positive he will say okay, because it is right here local. Amen. Now, the first question I always ask every person, Nelson, is this one. Tell us, in your own words, who is Nelson Brown?
Well, I would say that when you think of Nelson Brown, and when you think of me, you should think of me as someone who is passionate about everything that he pursues. You know, I'm a student, I'm an author, you know, I'm an evangelist, I write, I definitely enjoy sharing my testimonies and my personal struggles with others. And like I said, I'm a student, I'm an author, I'm an artist, I write, I'm an activist, a philanthropist, and I just enjoy using all of my personal struggles in order to help others. I'm passionate about so many things, and they always say that people say that your pain is your ministry, so I've decided to turn my negative situations and my negative experiences from the past into something positive, just to use that as an inspiration and to be influential spiritually to someone else.
Amen, amen. And this book is the first book in a series, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, now tell us about your purpose for writing not just this book, but writing for this entire series.
Okay, well, the book series is about body positivity and self-acceptance from a male's perspective. And in the first book, I've decided to write about my struggles with my own insecurities about my physical appearance and just, you know, who I am and who I was, you know, growing up. The book starts from the age of five, me being at the age of five in kindergarten, and it ends and concludes at my graduation from high school at the age of 18. And it pretty much discusses many of the personal struggles I had, not just with my physical appearance or with my own self-image, but just it talks about how many relationships I've had to juggle, you know, growing up, and it talks about many of the struggles I've had with, you know, people with, you know, in a sense, naysayers and just people. Just it's all about relationships. It's about family values. It's about self-acceptance. It's about, you know, choosing your peer group wisely. It's about, I mean, it's about so many things. The book, my story talks about many things in a nutshell. Like I said, it discusses my life from the age of 5 until 18, from kindergarten to my graduation from high school. And it just talks about how I, you know, evolved into the person I am today. And that's what it's really about. There are many chapters that discuss, you know, and, you know, as you read the book, you can see the progression and you can see the age difference and just, you know, how my mindset is, you know, at different periods of my life.
Okay. Now, you mentioned your physical appearance. Can you explain why you're discussing that and how that shaped your book?
Well, I was always, well, I talk about my struggles with my physical appearances and my insecurities about the way I look openly because, like, ever since I was young, I was always, you know, considered to be a heavier child. I was always the tallest in my class. I was always the heaviest. And that flaw actually created a disadvantage for me in the eyes of other people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I mean, when you're in school, especially elementary school, and I think sometimes, like, the younger you are, the worse kids are because kids don't really understand the concept of what of difference being a good thing, something different being a good thing, something unique being special. And, you know, and you don't really know, and I'm not just speaking on behalf of myself, I'm just speaking in general, you don't really know what your flaws are until someone else points them out to you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that's when that becomes an insecurity that you begin to develop about yourself. And, you know, I was always, you know, considered to be heavier than the other students in my classes growing up from kindergarten all the way up until the beginning of high school. But when I hit middle school and, like I said, earlier on in high school, that's when my weight became a problem because I was at my heaviest and I was so insecure that, you know, I didn't participate in any clubs or activities. I didn't play any sports. And I kind of just isolated myself from people because I was always fearful of being rejected by others because of that. Yeah. And in a sense, me being kind of like, I wouldn't say not friendly, unfriendly, but I would say standoffish. And it was just a defense mechanism that I used to keep people away.
Being a wallflower.
Right.
Yep. And I understand that because that was me. I mean, you're describing me when I was growing up. I was 10 years old and weighed 110 pounds. You know, so, I mean, I understand completely because I was right there. Now, is that you struggled with weight issues as a young at a young age as well?
Yes. I was always considered to be heavier than the other students in my class, but I didn't really view it as being a problem until I was about, like, in the fifth or sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started to view it as a problem, and that's when I became a target of not just students but teachers as well.
Wow, yeah. And, you know, I remember when I was growing up, I tried out for sports and things like that, but, you know, I did get on the junior high football team. And, you know, they wanted me to be right up there next to the center because I was big and people have a hard time getting through me, right? But I wasn't quick enough to really do anything. I mean, if the running back went past me, there's absolutely zero chance of me trying to catch him. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen. So I only was on that for 1 year. In high school, I did play baseball. You know, my 11th and 12th grade. But you know, I can completely understand what you're saying. I went to a couple of the school dances, and you know, shunned by the girls, laughed at by the boys, you know, so I just stopped doing that sort of social activity. And, you know, and unfortunately, that just exasperates the situation because, and even now I struggle to this day, if I'm going through something, I counsel myself with food, you know. I mean, that's, you know, so I always am conscious of that now. But, I mean, I went up after my injury and forced retirement as a cop. I went from 220 up to 280 pounds in probably 2 years and stayed there, you know, the whole up until last year when I finally, you know, aches and pains and, you know, bad blood tests and all this stuff going on. I just say, you know what, Lord, I need to take charge of this. You know, I'm not going to be like this anymore. So, you know, I've lost a lot of weight the past year and I've changed my entire lifestyle as far as food goes. And, you know, I'm feeling better now than I have in years. But, you know, it was just something, the Holy Spirit just in you saying, you know, this is what you need to do to fix this. Now, I can see that through your book, not only is the Holy Spirit working with you, but He's using you to inspire change in other people's life. And I'm not using change like you are really wrong, you need to change, but changing your self-perspective, your perception of yourself. Is that what you sense the Lord doing through this book series?
Absolutely. And like I said, even this is a book series, so there will be a volume 2, 3, and 4, and whatever God wants me to do from this point forward. I'm working on 2 more right now that I plan on releasing in the summer of next year.
Amen.
And you will definitely see the progression, and you will definitely see the growth. You know, my editor, she said that, you know, with each book that you write, the content is supposed to mature, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to see growth. And so that's what my readers, listeners, and viewers will definitely get a chance to see me grow. You know, I'm only 19 years old. I'll be 20 in May this year.
Okay.
And by the time my second and third book will be released, that puts me at 21 years old. And just ever since I've graduated from high school, my whole outlook on life has changed for the better.
Amen.
And I've just, ever since I've branched out as an author, as an evangelist, as a philanthropist, and even with everything that I'm doing, you know, I'm a student as well. I'm an environmental science student at the Community College of Baltimore County in Amen. Catonsville, Maryland, and I've been sharing my story and using platforms, you know, with other students. Some of my colleagues at work, you know, I work at the Maryland Department of the Environment.
Amen. MDE.
Yes, and I've been working there since I was 17. And,
wow.
And just everybody has watched me grow so much, and that's what they'll have the opportunity to see that with the next 2 books as I continue to fight off youthful insecurities. Mm-hmm. Because the first book, you see a lot of vulnerability and innocence, but the second and third books, they're a lot more mature and they're a lot more grounded.
Yeah. Well, it's important to lay the foundation of the background upon what you're building. I mean, if you just started off with book number 2, people wouldn't really be able to understand why you're saying in that book what you're telling them. But if they read book 1 and then go to book 2, it will make complete sense. You know, so book 1 has to lay that foundation. So I agree 100%, man. And you, I mean, if you're already working with MDE and all that, man, you are awesome. I mean, yeah, I mean, to start out with a state agency at such a young age, you're going to go far in that environment because I know how the state, you know, system works and everything from my experience with it. I got my daughter into the state system when I was a cop. She was looking for a new job, so I got her in there, and you know, she started off with a dispatcher job, but once she got some years under her belt and got vested in all that, she's now transported. She works for State Highway now and, you know, getting ready to get another promotion. I mean, you know, the state system is awesome, especially if you're local. You know, if you had to commute from Delaware or something, it can get, you know, rather tedious on those long drives. But, you know, to be local and work for the state, man, you're doing great. And at such a young age, you'll be going places. That's awesome. How did you get involved with MDE, Maryland Department of the Environment? How'd that come about?
Well, in high school, I attended the Western School of Technology and Environmental Science okay. in Catonsville, Maryland.
Yep,
so that was
yep.
my high school, and they had magnet programs that were that specialized in different career options for their students from 9th to 12th grade. And and I was accepted into the Environmental Science Magna program. I was before eighth grade ended and before my middle school graduation, we had to take a test and we had to perform. We had to do a lab. We had to use our attendance, and we also had to take tests in order to gain acceptance into our high school. And Western Tech, it's a Maryland Blue Ribbon school. It's won national awards, so it's definitely high on that radar. And I was accepted into the Environmental Science Magna program. I needed 80 points in order to gain acceptance. I scored exactly 80 points.
Wow, cool! And made it.
Yes, and during my senior year of high school, we had different options. Since we were about to graduate from high school, and since we were trying to get our graduation requirements and general education requirements out of the way, most of mine were out of the way. And having an internship was one of the options during your senior year. Mm-hmm. And I was surfing through the web, and I was looking to see, okay, which agency would be great to get my foot wet, to get my feet wet, and to just gain as much exposure as possible. And I happened to come across MDE, and I also have a cousin of mine who worked there for 40 years. He retired like in 2014, and so that's how I became familiar with MDE. And I called the Human Resources office, and the representative, she gave me information as it pertains to applying for a position, and just sending in my resume and everything. A couple of weeks later, I was accepted, and I was hired for the position, and I didn't even have to go in for an interview.
Praise the Lord. That's the favor of God there. Hey, man, that's awesome. You weren't there when I was there, but I worked many accident scenes where we had to call MDE out because, diesel fuel was leaking out of a tanker and down into the drain system, which would drain into the bay, and, so, I probably worked with your uncle at one point or another while during my time out on the highway, but that's awesome. Small world. That's cool. How long did it take you to write your book, this first edition of the series?
Well, I started writing the book a month after I graduated from high school. So I graduated from high school in June of 2017, and I began writing the book the next month.
Wow.
And it was released in August of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me about a year to write the book, and it took me about a year to, network with the people I needed to connect with in order to, back me up and in order to get me to where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still networking with people in different fields, not just in the field of writing, but in the field of environmental science and just with everything I'm pursuing. It's all about networking with the right people.
Amen.
And in order to get to where you want to be in your career. And I do know that, since I am in the public eye now, and, this is just advice that I'm just giving to all of your listeners. When you're in the public eye and when you're networking with people in your prospective fields, you have to, you have to have a plan.
Yep.
You have to have a plan, and you have to conduct yourself in the best manner possible. Because nobody's going to want to represent you or, put their money or their name on the line for you if they feel as though they cannot trust you or if they feel as though you're not flexible enough to work with them.
Amen.
So that's what I wanted to,
say
awesome. To all of your listeners.
Amen. Now, you are also an evangelist, correct?
Correct.
In the ministry, okay. How did the Lord call you into this avenue of ministry?
Well, I grew up in church. I've been attending church since I was about 3 years old. So I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was about 8 years old, and I attended Collective Christian Ministries in Randallstown, Maryland. That was my childhood church. I attended that church from the year 2002 up until 2018.
Okay.
And God is just told me that. It was just time for me to branch out and to just meet new people at a different church, and it was just time for me to execute my salvation somewhere else, mm-hmm. because I felt like I kind of outgrew my childhood church, and I felt like I was not given the chance to grow spiritually after a while. And that's why now I'm a member of the Messiah Community Church in Reisterstown, Maryland, under Pastor Rod Harrison and his First Lady and his wife, Sherry Harrison. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with a team of ministers in order to become one, and I'll be teaching a discipleship class in a small group in the coming months. Mm-hmm. So I'm speaking training for that. And I just wanted to, because I noticed that many people, especially from my generation, a lot of millennials, they have a tendency to shy away from church. A lot of them don't really understand the concept of church, and they don't really show a lot of interest in church. And a lot of people, in a sense, a lot of people make a lot of judgments. They make a lot of judgments about people who are in church. A lot of people think that church people are, you know, judgmental, and a lot of people just have the wrong idea of what church is, and so I just want to be that example for, you know, people from my generation, especially because of how young I am. And I just wanted to tell all of your listeners that, you know, you don't, especially the older listeners, do not mm-hmm. underestimate anyone because of their age.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I just want to use my age and just my status in order to be an inspiration to someone else, you know, and I'm just calling people to salvation. And, you know, as I hear stories, you know, because we have different people attend our church, we always have visitors, we always have guests, and, you know, the best part about being an evangelist is to just listen to stories from people of all backgrounds.
Right, yeah.
That's the best part, and just digging deep into their story, just meeting new people and just that experience alone. That's what I love about.
Amen. Is that what you enjoy the most about being an evangelist?
Yes, that's what I enjoy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, is this book an outreach of your ministry as an evangelist? Are you sharing the word through this book as well?
Well, earlier on in the book, I talk about my faith growing up. In the book, I talk about my faith growing up. But in the second and third book, you are definitely going to see more. I'm one of the themes in the second and third book is spiritual growth, so you're going to see a lot more of that. Amen. In the second and third book than you did in the first book. The first book just gives you like a taste, but the second and third book, they kind of like, it makes you hungry for it, if that makes sense.
Right. Amen. How's the Lord using you and this book in your ministry?
Well, I'm just talking about my personal struggles with my self-image, you know, from a male's perspective, and I just feel like a lot of people, you know, and I've had people say this, and, you know, I don't pay it any attention, but a lot of people say that, you know, people don't care about that. People, male body image, you know, nobody thinks about that, nobody cares. You know, people have told me this, and I ignore it, and I know that that's not true, and I just know that there are just so many men that are afraid to speak out about this because, you know, it's ancestral, it's historical, and it's generational for men to present themselves in a tough manner.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, you know, have these false personas about men saying men don't cry, which is garbage.
Right. Amen.
That is totally false.
Yeah.
And just people have this, you know, false persona of how a man is supposed to present himself in the public eye. And a lot of men, especially men from older generations, they were just taught to suppress their feelings.
Yeah.
And they were taught by their fathers that their pain didn't matter.
Yep. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We've been talking with Nelson Brown, the author of the book, The Beauty in Us, Our Reality. You know, he is a young man who has endured a lot, as have many of you, our listeners, as I have growing up. You know, in this society where appearance is everything, someone who does not have the chiseled looks of a football player or the beauty of a model, you know, a lot of times they face ridicule, they face hardships, they face abuse, physical, verbal, mental abuse, and it's all because of appearances. And very rarely are you able to capture someone's love and attention just because of you. And Nelson, in his book, gives us permission to look at that from that perspective. This is an awesome interview. He's an awesome young man. The book is awesome. You need to get it. The links are in the show notes below. But more importantly, you need to come back tomorrow, because we're only halfway through this interview with Nelson. And tomorrow, I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot out of it. So come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.